Welcome to episode 12 of Practical Defense, Home Security, Part 2. Welcome back to another episode of Practical Defense. I'm your host, Alex Addicks. In the last episode, episode 11, I discussed using lights and lighting systems to help keep would-be burglars and home invaders at bay. In this episode, we're picking things up where we left off in our discussion and continuing with more perimeter security options. Now, this episode is going to be a little bit longer than normal, and hopefully that will make up for the short episode last time. So, here we go. As I mentioned in the last episode, the security tips I'm going to discuss here are not guaranteed to prevent a break into your home. No one can guarantee that. These are just recommendations and suggestions that will help keep you safer and more secure. And unfortunately, if someone really wants to hurt you or wants your stuff, they're going to figure out a way to get to it. And sometimes, even when you've taken every precaution, the stars are just aligned against you. We're continuing our perimeter security stuff with doors. So doors are the primary means of entering and leaving your home. And that's where a lot of the focus is when someone wants to illegally enter your house. Only a small percentage, well, maybe a third or so, actually come in through the windows. Most of them are actually through the doors. And, you know, the doors are meant to be opened. And, you know, they're large enough to fit people and objects through, and they really don't make any noise when they're used. Since doors are generally solid, or at least they should be solid core, heavy doors and not hollow, when someone comes knocking, we need to be able to check to see who that person is before we just open the door for them. That's why we have peepholes, or small holes drilled at eye height that we can look through to see who's on the other side. Sometimes there are even glass windows in the doors that you can look through. Between the two, I prefer the peephole over the clear glass window. If there's some stranger outside my door, I want to be able to see him without being seen. And with a window, it's two ways. You know, it's very obvious when you poke your head up and you're looking through and the guy's, you know, eyeballing you right back. If you use a peephole, be certain to get one that has a good field of view. They call them like fisheye glasses, you know, so they have a wide, kind of distorted, but at least you can see things on the side so that you can spot someone trying to hide to the sides or below and try and stay out of the field of vision after they knock. Also, if you have an old one in your door, replace it. I've done this a bunch of times and it really makes a huge difference. They're really inexpensive. It's like 10 bucks at your local hardware store. And it takes less than 2 minutes to install. You know, it just screws in. What happens is with the peepholes, with age, they get coated with grime, paint, hard water stains from sprinklers or rain. And the older ones often don't have a great field of view. They're the cheapest ones they could find that the builder was putting in when they built the house. Sometimes, I mean, think about it. 20 or 30 years old, it could be the original peephole. Spend the 10 bucks and replace it. But also remember that peepholes are not perfect. You know, they don't give you complete protection on the inside. And if you've ever been outside looking at a peephole, especially at night, you may not be able to see any details, but you can see light and movement. You can tell when someone's on the other side of the door because you'll see a glow through the peephole, and all of a sudden it'll be obscured. And that means, guess what? Something's blocking it, and it's most likely a person's head. So you can tell when someone walks up to the door and bends over and looks at the peephole. And if you're on the outside and the home is well lit on the inside, it may as well be made of glass. You know, it's really that easy. You know, I'm really not a fan of windows and doors. And the other problem with them is that they can be broken and that the person, you know, after the breaks the glass can just reach in and unlock the door. That's why you often see, or at least you should see, that with doors with windows in them, they have a deadbolt that requires a key on both the inside and outside of the door so that you just can't unlock the door. You can break the window and reach around, but you know, if you've got it requires a key to get in to unlock that deadbolt, you're not going to get in. So if you do have a window in your door, get a double-sided deadbolt. If you have more of a budget, the remote cameras are actually really coming down in price quite a bit. And you can set one up that covers the front door or any door, even the back door if you want. And you can watch it from like either a dedicated monitor, TV in your bedroom, set to a specific channel, or even on your laptop computer over a wireless connection anywhere in the house. You know, and if somebody's at the front door and you really want to hide, go to the attic and use your laptop and check out and see what's going on from the attic. So we've talked about doors. You know, you want a good, solid, hardcore door. And if you want a peephole, and if you don't have a peephole, if you have a window, you want to have a double-sided deadbolt. So let's move in and talk about deadbolts and locks. You want a good, solid deadbolt. The normal pin doorknob locks, they can be popped open really easily. I've seen it done. It really takes no time at all. Someone who knows how to do it, it's just a second or two. You need a deadbolt to make it harder for someone to get into the house. Now, with a good deadbolt, the choice the criminal has is to either try and pick it, they can crowbar the door, or they can try and kick it in. You know, they even have deadbolts that don't even have a key access from the outside. And I grew up in a house that had one of these. Make sure the bolt is installed halfway through the door, so there's actually no plate. There's actually no indication at all on the outside of the door that there's a deadbolt, and there's only the latch on the inside. So there's only one-way access. You can open the door from the inside, or you're not going to open it. So those are really pretty good. But the problem is, of course, you know, like when you have younger sisters and you lock the deadbolt at night and they're still out, it gets to be a pain when they come home at 2 in the morning and they're pounding on the door and someone has to get up to let them in. That's a whole different story. But just because they have a deadbolt in the door doesn't mean there actually has to be key access from the outside. And you know what? There's no way to pick it. Now, also when it comes to locks, if you move into a new property, change the locks. You have no idea who has a key to your home, especially if it's a rental. If it's an apartment or a house rental, change the locks. If you bought the new house new, change the locks. If it's a rental, offer to pay to have the locks changed and give the owner a new master key. I've done this several times when I was renting apartments, and it's really never been a problem. Now, they usually won't let you change the locks themselves. Locks actually really aren't all that hard to install. But, you know, if it's a rental, they're going to require, most likely, that a professional do it. Spend the money. It's worth it. You know, it's worth the peace of mind. Have a professional install it. Give it, you know, have keys for yourself. Give the keys to the owner. And it's really easy. I mean, the craziest thing is to not change the locks and have someone break into the house because they have a key to the front door. That really kind of defeats the whole idea of security. Now, from personal experience, I've found that thieves rarely pick locks these days. It takes skill and time, and neither of which those things are the average thug is going to have. Plus, generally they don't care whether or not they know that the place is broken into. You're going to realize it, so why be subtle? What they're going to do is they're going to get in, they're going to snatch and grab stuff, and they're going to be in and out in less than 10 minutes, sometimes even, you know, less than 5. What I've personally seen most often used is the crowbar method. Now, this is interesting. What they do is they just take a crowbar and they jam it into the joint between the door and the door frame where the locks are, and they just pop the door open by ripping the wooden door frame apart. It takes less than 5 seconds. You put it in, you get a good hold, and you just crank the crowbar and the door pops open. And in fact, from personal story, I lived in an apartment building where this actually happened a lot. The thieves would select an apartment, check to see that no one was home by knocking on the door repeatedly, almost pounding on it. And then they walked to the neighboring apartments and placed masking tape over the peepholes so that people couldn't view them what they were doing. Then they'd crowbar the door, take the stuff, place it into a clothes basket, and cover it with a bunch of clothes, and then leave. And then afterwards, you know, if you were walking down the hall, it looked just like someone carrying a heavy basket of laundry to the washers. And meanwhile, they're walking out with your stereo, your VCR, your laptop computer, or whatever. Now, in this particular apartment building, they did it repeatedly to many of the apartments. And we got some of these details, and from the evidence they left behind, like the masking tape on the peepholes, and a little bit of video camera footage. And we know that they knocked on the doors repeatedly because they did it to my sister while she was home. Now, she and I were sharing an apartment, and she was in the tub when there was this banging on the door. You know, she ignored it for a while because she didn't want to get out of the tub. But eventually it was so persistent that she got out of the tub and went and answered the door. And yes, she actually did open the door, which was man, that was bad. But anyway, so when she opened the door, there were four guys standing there. And they said that they were looking for the handyman. And they actually called him by name. So that gave her kind of a little bit of comfort. And she said, no, he isn't here. And they said, okay, thanks, we'll look for him elsewhere. And then they moved on, thankfully. But about 15 minutes later, an apartment on the next floor, it was broken into. And the handyman wasn't even working that day. Now, the fact that they knew the layout of the place and they knew the handyman's name led me to believe that it was an inside job. So either it was the friends of a former resident or that they were even former residents themselves. Now, the break-ins finally stopped after the building owner installed alarm systems in every apartment in the entire building and paid for monitoring for about 6 months. And interesting, it was not the actual installation that caused them to stop, which is why I think they were former residents. See, because even if the installation of the alarms and the stickers placed all over the site, there was still a break-in. They didn't believe the stickers. So they did their normal thing. They popped open the door, and as soon as the door, was opened, the alarm went off. And it seems like they may have panicked because they kicked the alarm control panel right off the wall. I mean, it just sheared it clean off the wall, which, of course, did nothing to stop the alarm system. And then they bolted. Nothing was actually stolen. And after that, there were no more break-ins. And again, a current resident would have known that the alarms were actually installed for real and that the stickers weren't fake, and they would have taken it seriously. But these guys, they saw all the stickers and they said, no one's going to pay for, 30 alarm systems to be installed. And so they blew it off as being fake. And it turns out it was real. Now, there are a couple of ways to help protect yourself against a crowbar or a kick-in, and that's by having a steel door frame installed. Now, what they can do is they actually take the door off its hinges, and they remove the frame, the wooden frame, and they actually replace it with a steel frame and then rehang the door. Now, when you crowbar a door, what's going to happen is that the door frame is what gives, not the door itself. And I was speaking with Jim Wagner, who was an LAPD SWAT team member, and he did a lot of home assaults of criminals. He said that steel frame doors, they don't get kicked in. And even often the big police handheld battering rams didn't work on the steel frame doors. They actually had to go out and get special gear to get around steel frame doors. But if you can't afford to replace the entire door frame, you can have a locksmith come out and install a wraparound plate to reinforce the wood frame and the wood door around the lock areas. And this helps quite a bit, but it's still not as good as an entire steel frame door. And honestly, if you're worried about the way they look, you can't tell a steel door frame from a normal one until you actually go up and touch it and tap on it with something metal to hear it ring. They're really good, and they look just fine. So moving on to other things on the perimeter of your home. Well, for one, you don't want to leave things out and around your home that can be used to break into your home. Why provide the tools to the thieves when they show up on your doorstep? And I'm talking about things like hammers and chisels and ladders. Now, ladders is an important one because, they can use a ladder to get up to a second-story window. They can use it to get onto your roof and then go on through the attic. There are all sorts of things that can happen. So you don't want to provide the tools to make it easier to break into your home. So when you're done working in your yard or just walking around, look for things that can be used against you. Take them inside, put them away. Okay, let's move on to windows. Now, windows, like doors, all by itself is a pretty big discussion. There are tons and tons of options. But I'll talk about one in this episode, and that's going to be about coating the windows to make them more smash resistant. And this is called glazing or laminating. And it doesn't make it impossible to break through the window, but it makes it certainly a lot harder. What it does is it turns your standard brittle window into something more like security glass that when it breaks, it has an adhesive or a resin that keeps the glass from flying out everywhere. And you can buy it in sheets, but it's really tricky to install. It's like a big giant sticker. And it's similar to how aftermarket window tinting works for cars. It's pretty much the same concept. You have to cut it to fit, and you have to be very careful when you place it on. But just like the car tinting for windows, if it's not installed by a professional, or it's a cheap one, it can bubble up over time and look really ugly, and it can even hinder the clarity of the view. It'll make things a little fuzzy. and it's not easy to install. So I suggest looking around for different types and hiring a professional for the installation. And you can get it in different colors and tints if you want, and even some with UV blocking and filtering. Now, for other things on the outside of your house that you want to secure, you want to lock up your fuse box and your phone box. Now, the fuse box on newer homes is generally on the inside, but on older homes, it can often be found on the outside of the house. Now, you want to lock that box up, because what happens is the fuse box gives a potential burglar an easy way to cut the power to your entire home. I mean, literally, with a flip of a switch, you can cut the power to your house. So what does that do? Well, it turns off all the power. Let's see, alarm systems are charged by power, and oh yeah, the phones. I mean, how many people still have wired landline phones in their house these days? Everyone's got the wireless phones. And if you cut the power to the base, phone's no good. So in one flip of a switch, they can cut the power to the alarm system and your only means of calling out for help. So you want to secure that box. You want to lock it up. So along those lines also, when talking about phone lines, how would you call for help if the phone lines are cut? 99% of the time, the phone box, which is the, you know, the way that the phone company comes in and wires into your house and actually plugs into, so the phone line goes to all the circuits and all the little boxes inside the house, is on the outside of the house. You want to keep this locked up, not only to prevent would-be burglars from cutting the lines of communication, but you also don't want anyone else tapping into your home lines, either to make calls at your cost, or to tap into your DSL connection, or just set up listening devices. So lock that box up as well. Just last week here in the United States, CNN Headline News, which is a national news program, they had a video of a woman who owned a home who had an early morning video surveillance of four guys trying to break into her house. The video showed the guys kicking in her back gate, using a ladder to climb up to try and cut her telephone line. All of their faces were visible on this tape. She had video surveillance cameras everywhere in her house, apparently. And so they showed their faces on national news, so I really hope that these guys get caught. They also showed one guy trying to cut the phone line was actually cutting the cable to her cable TV. So I don't know how bright they were. But anyway, they were well prepared, and there were four of them, and she was home alone. I don't think they got inside, or they didn't get far inside, because she didn't shoot them. You know, she heard the sound of the windows breaking, and she saw what they were trying to do, so she grabbed her gun, and she went to the far room of her house, and then she said, as soon as I saw a shadow, I was going to start shooting. So, and she didn't shoot anybody, so they didn't get too far in there. And where was she located? Where else but Dallas, Texas. An obvious security measure is to keep your windows and doors shut and locked. Now, on warm summer nights or spring nights, run the air conditioner instead of leaving the window open. I know we all want that nice, cool breeze, but over the years, I've heard so many reports of home invasions and rapes happening during the warm months because women leave their bedroom windows open at night for the cool breeze, and someone just crawls right in. So this spring and this summer, be safe, shut and lock the windows at night, and just run the AC if it gets too warm. And here's a quick and easy tip, and a very inexpensive one, that anybody can do, is to buy security stickers. These are security service stickers. I know you see them at like Radio Shack and things like that, but those are all pretty generic ones. But you can actually purchase like a Brinks Home security sticker from lots of different places online, and even eBay. And what you do is you put these stickers up on your windows and your doors, suggesting that you have a security system, whether it's installed or not. And these are, you know, because they're brand named, they look, you know, they look real, look like the security system's actually installed. So the idea behind this is that you want to convince a burglar that there is a security system and that he can't see it or can't find it and that you're not worth the effort because the alarm's going to go off. And here's an interesting twist. Something I read that Masad Ayoub suggested is that you should consider maybe putting up stickers for it. If you have an alarm system, put up stickers for a different security system than what you have installed. Now, for example, if you have an ADT security system, use stickers from a Brinks system. So that way, if the thief does say, you know what, he's got an ADT system, I know how to disable those. and he goes looking at your house and tries to find the ADT security system, he's not going to find it because you actually have a Brinks one installed. So what it does is it just confuses him a little bit. It makes him feel uncomfortable, which is exactly what you want. You want the thief or the criminal to be uncomfortable and therefore move away from your stuff and look for an easier target. Now, of course, your security company is not going to like the idea that you're going to put up stickers from another security system, although they have yours installed, because what they want is they want their name plastered all over your house for the free advertising. Another thing you can do is use plants to enhance the security of your home. Now, the plants I'm talking about are thorny bushes and shrubs and flowers and things like that. And you want to put these especially under windows. And what you do is these bushes and shrubs that are thorny and scratchy and not nice will help discourage people from using them to hide into, to peek into your windows or climb into your windows. So you want to make it as painful as possible, again, to discourage anybody from doing it. It also makes it more painful to dive out of, say, your teenage daughter's window because you got home early and caught her with her boyfriend. Or so I've been told. And finally, what you want to do is you want to walk the inside perimeter of your home as you close down for the night. And this is a habit I got into a few years ago after a good friend of mine had a really scary home invasion. I mean, it scared everyone to the core. Now, in my friend's neighborhood, unbeknownst to him, there had been a series of burglaries and home garages. Now, he lives in a really nice neighborhood of Santa Monica in California here. The homes were built mostly in the 40s and 50s, and the style back then was to have the car garages completely separate, meaning not attached to the houses. So, you know, the houses today, most of the garages are attached garages. But back then, they were doing them separated. Also, in his neighborhood, that most of the garages had been converted into workrooms or offices instead of being used for car storage. So what these crooks were doing is they were going into these lone garages, and just sometimes they were even just walking into the places because it was a nice neighborhood and they didn't always block up their offices at night because most of them were in the backyard and already behind, you know, a gate or a fence. So my buddy, like everyone else, wasn't in the habit of locking his converted garage because it was already in his backyard and behind a gate. So what these guys did is they just, you know, came through his gate and walked right into his unlocked office. And they ripped out computer equipment that they could carry. They walked out, you know, took remote-controlled cars and anything else they could fit into their pockets. But on their way out, they just happened to check the back door to his house. And they found it unlocked. Now, the back door led into the kitchen. And so they went into his kitchen, and his wife's counter was on the perch, and they took his wife's purse. They found a couple of cell phones sitting in the chargers, and they took the cell phones. Now, in the dark, they missed a camera bag with $3,000 worth of camera gear in it because it was dark, and they didn't get that. So what happened was my buddy woke up in the middle of the night, and he was thirsty, and he just walked into the kitchen, which was, you know, 30 or 40 feet from his master bedroom. So when he walked into the kitchen, he found the back door was open. And he was, you know, a little disturbed by this. And of course, you know, think, crap, you know, that's not good. So he went over and shut and locked the door. And then he went back to sleep. Didn't think anything of it beyond that. He doesn't know what woke him up. He doesn't recall hearing a specific noise, a voice, or a floor creaking, a door creaking, or anything like that. He just got up and shuffled into the kitchen in a haze for some water and found his back door open. And, you know, although it's speculation, him getting out of bed and stumbling down the hall, still mostly asleep, may have been what scared these guys off. He could have just easily walked in on them, which, you know, would have been really, really scary for everyone involved. Also, we don't know what really woke him up. Did he actually hear something enough to get him out of his sleep? No, but we'll never know. Now, here's a really scary part. I mean, really scary. The kitchen where these home invaders were is just 15 feet from his 2-year-old and 4-month-old daughter's bedroom. They were sound asleep. So these guys that broke into his house, walked in through the unlocked back door, were just 15 feet from his infant children. So these guys could have just walked, the guys that walked away with his purse and his cell phones, could have just have easily walked out with his infant and child daughters. So needless to say, next morning when they realized the stuff had been broken into, and it took a while. He didn't go out to his office immediately and notice everything is gone. They didn't notice immediately that the purse and the cell phones were gone. It was, you know, up making breakfast, doing your normal Sunday morning thing. And all of a sudden, where's my purse? Where did I leave it? I leave it out in the car, leave it out in the garage, whatever. Boom, all of a sudden, wait, we had a home invasion. So, you know, that afternoon, I was over at his house helping him install security systems. Also, when he called the police and reported it, they actually didn't send a police officer. 3 days later, they sent an incident report taker. Because the incident already happened, it was just property that was stolen, no one was hurt, they didn't even send an actual uniformed police officer. They just sent out a report taker to take the report and offer some helpful suggestions on how to protect the house. So it was a very, very scary incident overall. And it was something that, you know, opened his eyes and changed his life. You know, nothing will put security into focus faster than a direct threat to your child. So after his incident, I got into the habit of walking the interior of my own home before heading to bed. You know, it's nothing big. I just walk around, and as I turn out the lights, I do a quick check of the windows and doors and pull the blind shut and then cut the lights. You know, and I can't tell you how many times I've found doors unlocked or not shut all the way, windows still open, and I've even found my garage door open a few times. I just, you know, after finishing lifting weights, I just forgot to shut it. So if you have children or, you know, other adults in the house, you know, everyone gets forgetful at times. So doing a quick check as you turn out the lights is a really good habit to get into. Okay, a little summary before we close. When you have doors, you want to have solid core doors. You don't want to have flimsy doors. And you want to have a good, clear peephole so that you can see through it. You want deadbolts on all the doors, not just the standard pin door lock that can be popped up easily. You want good, solid deadbolts and a good, solid door. The other thing you want to do is, when you move into a new place, change the locks. And if you can, replace the wood door frame with a steel door frame. And if you can't afford a new entire steel door frame, have plates installed around the door locks by a certified bonded locksmith to help make the door more secure. And if you have a lot of windows, when everyone has more windows these days, you want to have them glazed or laminated to help make them more shatterproof and breakproof. And you want to lock up your fuse box, and you want to lock up your telephone box to make sure that people can't get access to it and cut the power and cut the lines to your house, the phone lines. And on the hot summer nights, instead of keeping the window open, shut and lock the window and use the air conditioner system. And you want to use thorny, spiny, nasty, you know, scratchy plants and shrubs around the perimeter of your actual home, and especially under windows, to prevent people from getting close to the property and peeking in those windows. And as you close up for the night and shut off the lights, just do a quick, you know, half-second check of the windows and doors to make sure that they're shut and locked all the way before heading to sleep. And in our next episode, we will continue our discussion of home security measures. I still have lots of ideas and protocols and tips, so we're not through yet. And of course, before I actually close out the episode, I want to mention the courses that I'm teaching. I have a knife survival course coming up at the end of February on Sunday, February 24th, and it's a full 8-hour Jim Wagner knife survival course. And we cover a good range of topics in this course, from directional attacks, the 21 feet, 7 meter rule, legal issues, the use of force ladder, and a whole bunch of other stuff. And this is not your standard martial arts, come at me like this attack, but it's one that teaches you how to survive a realistic full-speed attack from a brutal attacker. You know, and to understand how to defend against a knife, you need to know how to effectively use one, so we cover both. We cover the defense and the offense, because you have to understand how things are going to be used against you before you can really adequately defend against them. So that's why we spend the morning learning how to use a knife, so that in the afternoon, we can really understand how to defend ourselves against one. Now, the sign-up form is live, and it's online right now on my website at alexhaddix.com, and I'm expecting the class to fill up pretty quickly, so if you're interested, be certain to log in and save your spot. And, you know, next weekend is when I'm running the Women's Survival Course, and we've got a lot of people signed up for that. But we do have a spot or two available left, so if you're still interested, we still have some spots. So the form for that is online as well, and I hope to see everyone there. Well, that does it for this episode. Thank you for downloading and listening to the Practical Defense Podcast. For questions and commentary, send an email to podcast@alexhaddix.com. That's podcast@alexhaddix.com. And if you ever want to train with me, look me up on the web at alexhaddix.com. Until next time, stay aware and stay safe. Kevin MacLeod.